Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Good News Show on this November beautiful Monday afternoon, and we are glad that you're with us. My name is Dave Palmer. This is a opportunity for us once a week to get together and do a live show and talk about cool and great things that are happening in the Dallas and the Fort Worth Diocese. And thank you for being with us. I also have in studio with me our new general manager, Tom Centauri. He is the general manager. He's been here exactly 1 week, and I dragged him on the air with us last week on his very first day of working, but I knew we'd be all right with it. So Tom's going to be sitting in during the program today, because eventually he's going to be putting together a program that'll be on 1140 AM KCPP. So Tom, welcome. Thanks for being back. It doesn't mean you have to do this every single week, okay? I promise.
You're awesome. Thank you for having me.
All right. And Tom and I were out at our parish, St. Mary the Virgin, yesterday, thanks to Father Steinbrook for allowing us to be out there. And he gave a great promotion for Catholic Radio. And he even posted on Facebook. He posted a picture. And he's so proud, I guess you could say, that both of the managers of Catholic Radio are from the little tiny parish of St. Mary the Virgin in Arlington. And in just a moment, by the way, it's Veterans Day. So just want to say thank you to all the veterans out there. Thank you for your sacrifice. And we pray for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and lost their lives on this Veterans Day. And, you know, there's a great connection to Veterans Day because next month, almost exactly a month from now, a little less than that, there is going to be a spiritual warfare, the Rules of Engagement conference that is put on by Fullness of Truth, which I have just tremendous respect for them. I've worked very closely with them. In fact, I've emceed a number of their events. I'm going to be the MC of this one as well. And we often talk about the San Antonio or the Round Rock, Texas conference. This one is in our backyard. It's in Allen. It's December 6th through 8th. Speakers include Father Carlos Martins, who's an exorcist, also another exorcist and podcaster, Father Dan Rehill, Matthew Leonard, Adam Bly, the music of Dave and Lauren Moore, and me as MC, and Ken Zammit, who's the founder of Fullness of Truth. He often allows me to give away some tickets, and today is no exception. And so this is an Allen. And so if you would like a couple of tickets to go to the Fullness of Truth conference in Allen, again, the first weekend of December, with the theme of spiritual warfare, the Rules of Engagement. I remember they did this in San Antonio last year, and Father Chad Ripperger and some of the other kind of demonologists and exorcists were there, and boy, they had a couple thousand people there. It was really, really crowded. So this might be a really big conference. If you'd like to go and you'd like a couple of complimentary tickets, you'd still have to get your own hotel arrangements and obviously get there. But call, and Cecil will answer the phone right now, and she'll get your email and your name. 877-757-9424. 877-757-9424 is a phone number. So let's just say first two people to call, two tickets to the Fullness of Truth Conference in Allen, Spiritual Warfare, the Rules of Engagement. I am really, really looking forward to that. Let me tell you about, speaking of looking forward to it, what I have in the program today, two of my dear friends from Heroic Media are in studio. Mike Murray, who I've known forever, going all the way back to high school, is here. He's the president of Heroic Media, and also Brett Atterbury is here. He's the CEO. And they've got some really exciting things happening with Heroic Media. Of course, this is a group that's been around for a long time and really helping to save lives, literally. And if you go to their website, heroicmedia.org, you'll see it's been very effective. And so come January, they're doing some new and exciting things, and we're going to break that news here in just a few minutes when they join me on the air. And then in the second half of the program, Father Jason Cargo, the pastor of St. Mark's Parish, St. Mark the Evangelist Parish in Plano, is going to be here. Remember, he was here about a month ago or so. I had the principal of the school on because they were awarded like the highest award that a school can get, and he came in. But Father Cargo has written a book for Advent called Jesse Tree, A Catholic Journey for Advent. He and his illustrator Allison Sue are going to be here talking about that. In fact, I just emailed my wife this morning and said, I want to do this for Advent, because I think, you know, we're always looking for something creative and innovative and faith, you know, enhancing for our family to get through that very wonderful season of Advent leading up to Christmas. All right, so that's the program. Before that, though, let me bring Tom back in, because Tom had his first official visit to a parish as general manager. You used to do it as a volunteer, but you went to St. Mary the Virgin Parish and were there for the 10:30 and the 1 o'clock Mass yesterday. So you said you had a story or two about that. How'd it go for you?
Yeah, it was great to tell people about the new territory we're going to be working with. And one story that stood out was a mother named Anne who said, wow, I need to get these stickers again, because I used to drive my kids to school and then kind of wait for them. And so that was my time to listen. And now they're older, so I don't have that time slot anymore. So she seemed like she was going through her head the different chapters in her life as a mom and now an empty nester. So it was just interesting to see that flip. But to have her get the bumper stickers and kind of renew her involvement with it was really cool.
So, yeah. And I had one lady come up and she said, my dad was a DJ in West Texas for like three decades. And I said, oh, how cool. And he was like a top 40 DJ. And so she just loved radio, and she was brought up in with radio and had some interesting stories. So she was very excited about the fact that we have three stations now in North Texas, 9:10 a.m. basically covering Dallas, 11:40 a.m. covering Fort Worth, and then our little 101.5 FM in Cleburne. That is a low power FM station that covers primarily that city. And so if you are just now getting GRN, you know, loud and clear in the southern part of the Fort Worth Diocese especially, well, welcome, and we're glad you're with us. And don't forget, 3 weeks from today is the Christmas Share-a-thon. And the theme is Rejoice, and so we'd love to have your support so we can continue to do these kind of things and these kind of interviews. So anyways, Tom, I know you're going to be sitting in, so if you ever get something you want to say and jump in or a question, you're free to. And if you just want to sit back and watch and listen, then do that as well. But thanks for being here.
Thank you. All the above.
All right, so let's talk about Heroic Media. And again, the top two executives of Heroic Media joining me in studio. So Brett and Mike, thanks for being here. Good to see you both.
You're welcome, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Okay, I think your microphone is there we go. All right, there you go. Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Yeah. Great to have you both. And just want to direct people again to the website, heroicmedia.org, heroicmedia.org. Mike is the president. Brett is the CEO. The Empowering Women with Authentic Choice. And Mike, I remember years ago, you worked for Heroic Media, and I remember, I think you were the first one to kind of do like the breakfast, the prayer breakfast. And yes. I remember just hundreds and hundreds of people would go out for these prayer breakfasts, and it was so cool. And then it just kept growing and growing, and there's been some evolutions over the years with Heroic Media. Can you talk a little bit about the history?
Sure. We came to Dallas in 2010 when I was hired, and I think prayer breakfasts was a great example of the community we were able to build, which we're still... It still exists here today. We still benefited from greatly to the extent that we moved our headquarters from Austin to Dallas, and the community really rallied around us. And we were able to just grow our advertising to young women and save lives more and more and more year after year. And it's so neat to still be here, and I'm really excited about being back with Heroic Media.
Mm-hmm. And Brett, I remember, you know, back in the days, Kevin Fitzpatrick and Mike Perkins and some of these people were involved in it. And I remember when you came on, as I recall, you were kind of like, not that these guys weren't the brains, but you were like the brains behind it, and you had something to do with really reaching these women. And I forget exactly what that story was, but what was your expertise? Because as I recall, you might have come from the corporate world, right? And then decided to, can you tell us a little bit about your story?
That's right, Dave. I came out of the for-profit world, especially the world of cellular phones, which was appropriate because as these things were becoming smaller and smaller, and you could see that young people, that's primarily where they were spending their time. And that's really important because abortion is primarily a young woman's issue. And I don't know if you've noticed, if you've looked around, but they are on these phones constantly. So we knew if we're going to reach these young women with advertising, it had to be on the cell phone. Mm-hmm. So I brought both a marketing expertise from my background as well as cell phone technology, as well as doing the kind of direct advertising that we do. And so all those things came together kind of perfectly. It was good timing when I came aboard. That was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, and it's one thing to leave the corporate world and, you know, probably making the big bucks and all that, and then coming into the nonprofit world. Is there what motivates you? Why was that important to you to make that
switch? So mine is a personal story. Yeah, I didn't come into the church until I was almost 40 years old.
Okay.
And I had a personal story. I'll give you the real quick version. But, you know, when I was very young, just a teenager, my girlfriend got pregnant at the time, and we agreed, and she had an abortion. So once I became Catholic, I started to learn the church's teachings on life, and well, there was that in my background. Eventually, that led me to a Rachel's Vineyard healing retreat in 2013, and as part of that, I received such inpouring of God's grace and beauty and healing, which continues to this day, and I just kind of committed to God that if he wanted to use me in this movement in some way, and boy, did he act powerful.
He said, yes, I do, right?
He did.
Yeah, you know, well, thanks for that that story. And I love when there is a personal, you know, testimony involved in it, because it really puts the heart behind the brains, as I said. And it's really something that I know is very important, as with you as well, Mike. It says on the website, heroicmedia.org, Mike, our approach to saving more lives from abortion is different. What's different about Heroic Media?
Well, there's lots of different ways people do great pro-life work. For example, all the legal work over 50 years that overturned Roe v. Wade was great work. We don't do legal work. We're not involved in advocacy. So we focus completely on the young woman who is a decision maker, who will decide between life or death for her child, and put all of her efforts into that. So our brand name, our advertising, our language is laser focused on her. So her preferences, her needs, her concerns. She's in a crisis situation. She's obviously thinking about herself, understandably so. And so we're not getting other things involved in that picture. We're not bringing other things up. It's just, hey, you're in a difficult situation. You need help. And they've been trained by Planned Parenthood to think this is solely a medical decision, a medical issue. In the pro-life movement, it's obviously to us moral and all these, but maybe not to her. So she's has a very little amount of time to make a decision. And so we're going to approach it as a women's issue and a medical issue. And so then it goes from there. I'll leave off at that point. But that really, I think everyone's focused on the woman, but we put other things to the side and just keep asking ourselves, what's going to appeal to her? What does she need? How has she been trained in this demographic, this age? What are they thinking? What appeals to them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're responding to.
Very nice. It says also on the website, there's a reference to the Supreme Court Dobbs versus Jackson, summer 2022. And it says here, it's time to take a new path in the battle to protect preborn babies. And Brett, I remember when that happened, there was this sense, of course, of elation on everybody on the pro-life side. But at the same time, those working in the pro-life movement had to kind of reassess the strategy, because everything changed literally that day. And abortion here in Texas is not legal. So how does that change the mission of Heroic Media?
Yeah, Dave, I think what many people didn't realize is, as much as we all celebrate the overturn of Roe versus Wade, what it really did was return the decision to the states. And many states, about half, were still all in on abortion. But what a lot of folks who weren't close to the front lines of pro-life didn't realize is that even in states where abortion is illegal, like Texas, women are still mobile. So what's happening is, as many women in Texas who want to get an abortion will travel up to Kansas, or they'll travel over to New Mexico to get abortions. So trust me when I say, you know, Texas citizens are still getting abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Even more insidious than that is that the abortion pill over time has become a greater percentage of overall abortions. This year, the trend line would say about 70% of all abortions will be by the abortion pill. And women in Texas, or any other state for that matter, can order those pills online. Many times those pills come from overseas. And the overseas suppliers don't care at all what laws are in any state, or federal law or anything, like for that matter. So what that tells us, and we knew that was coming, is ultimately, since laws are going to not be all that effective at reducing abortions, and they haven't been, because abortions really have not gone down post-Roe, as Mike said a second ago, it's all about the woman. You have to focus on the woman. You have to influence the woman. You have to ask her what she needs. And then, as a good organization would, you have to give her what she needs. If you do that effectively, you have a very good chance that she will make a decision for life.
We are talking about Heroic Media. Yeah, in studio, Brett Atterbury, the CEO, Mike Murray, the president. Their website, heroicmedia.org, empowering women with authentic choice. And there's so much to get from the website, and you can tell that I was on there this morning. And the one line, Mike, that caught my attention, it says, "We want the majority of women in our country to prefer our brand before they ever face an unexpected pregnancy." What is the Heroic Media brand? What does that mean?
Well, the brand that's externally facing to the woman that we advertise, the young women in our target market, our demographic, is called Her First. And I think that demonstrates again that we're all in on the woman. So it's her, and first meaning she's a priority, right? So it's Her First. And it's important to have the brand because obviously on the other side, Planned Parenthood is one of the most well-known brands in the country for any product. It has 93% brand recognition throughout the country. There's no pro-life brand that's anywhere close to that. So we are very, very intentional about having a brand that's well-known for women's health care and making that brand as expansive as possible. So like you mentioned earlier, we are expanding into Dallas with that brand in January. Our goal and vision is to expand throughout the country into many, many major media markets. As Brett always says, is that if a woman does not know of your brand well before she has to make that decision about whether or not to have an abortion, she's not going to choose your brand. But if we are marketing that brand in a market year after year and it spreads and there's word of mouth, it's much more likely they're going to know that brand and then choose it when they have the need.
You make a good point. 93% brand, you know, with air quotes, recognizability with Planned Parenthood. And there isn't really anything like that in the pro-life movement, is there? I mean,
no.
But does that speak of more subsidiarity where there's a lot of smaller groups doing smaller things on the local level and there isn't one big, you know, group? Brett, can you speak of that? And is that something that you think is going to change over the coming years?
Dave, I think it speaks to the beautiful work that the pregnancy help centers have done on the front lines. They've built over decades now just the system of support that's available locally. There's about 3,000 of those centers across the country, but they tend to be like facilities one, maybe two. So they're very small, and it's difficult for them to get the resources they need to do the kind of advertising it requires to build a big brand. What's exciting for us is we know from our front line of experience, and then research backed this up last year. There was a research report that came out. And I think this is going to be shocking to many people who are pro-life, but it actually gives us great hope. And that is that they asked women who had had abortions, like, what would it have taken for you to choose life? And 60% of the women who have had abortions say that what they really needed was more emotional support and more financial support. The beauty of that, one that's tragic, but the beautiful part of that, that's exactly what these frontline pregnancy centers offer. It's just that the women don't know they're there.
Mm.
So our idea is to go in and create that one brand name, Her First, very powerful name, do the brand advertising, but simply have those frontline centers as part of our network that we then hand those women off to once they contact us.
So you really want to be the anti-Planned Parenthood. With that, I mean, I guess that's maybe not the way to put it, but is that what you're saying, is that this is a national effort, Her First, so when people think of the pro-abortion, they think Planned Parenthood, the pro-life, Her First. Is that the goal? And is that what's coming in January? Is a big push for that? And do you want to maybe tell us more about that strategy? Am I on the right track of what you have in mind?
Yeah, what we really want to do is not be seen as the anti-Planned Parenthood. We simply are stepping into a space and meeting an unmet need for women. Like I said, the women actually, the majority of women who are abortion seeking actually want what we offer.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know about it. So we want to be seen really more, especially that frontline brand, the Her First brand for women, as another option. Because right now, you mentioned the 93% while ago, Planned Parenthood. Right now, most women have one option in their mind. And unfortunately, that's Planned Parenthood, and we know where that leads. Now, I think as this grows, of course, for those who support the kind of work that we do, the investors and donors, naturally, I think they will see that this is the, as you called it, the anti-Planned Parenthood, the counter to Planned Parenthood, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But we just want it to be a very, very positive movement, which is really stepping in, being the hands of Christ, the feet of Christ for women who have that need. And we're just simply letting them know that this is there for them.
Now, Mike, I've done a lot of interviews with pregnancy resource centers, right. And it seems to me that they, and I never want to use the word trick because it's not a trick, but they have to somehow get an abortion-minded woman to consider a place like, you know, White Rose or a place, the new name I'm thinking of,
Bloom.
Bloom, yeah. Whereas if the woman has got her mind on or her boyfriend or husband is pressuring her to have an abortion, she may not first go to that place because she wants to get an abortion. So how do you get around that? Because, you know, Brett's saying is 60% of the women really want what, you know, her first is going to offer, but some of them are just abortion minded and they don't even want to, for whatever reason, they don't even want to consider that. How do you get around that obstacle?
Well, I'm going to let Brett talk about this in more depth, but I think what you said, first thing you said is that we are appealing to abortion determined women. So there's a lot of women out there who may have needs because they're pregnant, and that's great. And our network will help those women. But we want to advertise in a way that we truly want to save a life. So a woman who thinks they may be calling a center that provides abortion. So there are ways to do that appropriately.
Okay. How is that?
I think when you talk to a Bloom or a White Rose or any center across the country who has this daily experience of women calling in, remember that 60% of those women actually don't want to do what they're calling about. Now, they may say, and they will say, I want an abortion. It's because they don't know that there's any other option.
Mm-hmm.
So the centers skillfully take those calls. They understand that many of these women actually don't want to do that. And so they just engage in a very skilled conversation, making sure that they're very compassionate, that the woman understands that the center is on their side, and really seek to find out, like, what is the cause? What is going on here? And then as they start to see, this is one of those 6 out of 10, for example, they can start to move them towards educating them that those kind of resources that you thought weren't available actually are available to you, and we can provide that for you.
And that's quite a colossal task to, I mean, I'm just thinking about what you all have planned. You mentioned the two local pregnancy resource centers, but this is going to go beyond that, isn't it, Mike? This is not just Dallas or Dallas-Fort Worth, or is this nationwide, Brett? Is that what the plan is? And how do you communicate with all those Blooms and White Roses out there? Is that part of the reach out, is to try to get them all under this umbrella of Her First?
Yeah, first, we specifically designed this system, both the telehealth operating side as well as the advertising side, to be easily, we call it scalable using business terms, to be easily duplicated in any other market quickly and very cost effectively. So the idea is to, you know, there's lots of talk always in the pro-life movement about unity. How can we have more unity? And that's a laudable goal. From our perspective, what we really want to do is unify in the women's minds, the women who are abortion seeking, that there's one brand through which they can get connected to whatever kind of life-affirming resource that they need. So what our telehealth center does in a local market, let's say Dallas, or let's say Dallas-Fort Worth, is our call center agents have information about all of the life-affirming centers in the area, not just the pregnancy centers. It could be adoption agencies or any kind of material support resource that's needed. And our Her First call center agent will basically do a screening process and find out what is it that this woman actually needs, and then hand her off to the appropriate resource that would be part of the Her First network.
Okay. So what exactly will happen in January? I know this is the big launch. Is this exactly what we're talking about now, but it's going to be much more of a push and a promotion and a marketing? And how are you, what's going to happen in January? How are y'all going to make sure everybody knows about this?
We have not advertised this new brand, Her First, in the Dallas market. So we have always been active here. We've always done advertising. So the first thing that will be new is the Her First brand will be marketed. And there are a lot of different ways to do that. there's simple ways to start, but eventually we'll have YouTube pre-roll, we'll have Instagram, we'll have videos, we'll do a lot, but we're going to get started in January. And the second thing that will be new is when a woman calls in response to her first ad that she sees, she will be routed to the call screener, but then she could be routed to nursing telehealth if that's appropriate. So anyone who's abortion determined, who needs to talk to a medical professional, will be routed first to the nursing telehealth. So we already have that up and running. So we've been marketing the Her First brand and using our nursing telehealth in Oklahoma City since September. So we'll have a few months under our belt before we start here in January. So they'll go to nursing telehealth. It's not a hotline. It's not counseling. It is a authentic medical appointment online, virtually, like we started to experience during COVID. So that's the basis for it. And we know younger women would often prefer to do that than to go in somewhere physically. But there obviously will still be a need, possibly, for a woman to have an ultrasound, for example, or get medical care on the ground. And that's also where she can access this network in the local community. So then we will refer these women, after that medical appointment has concluded, to a local pregnancy help center. So the difference is the brand Her First will be marketed for the first time, and also we'll be routing them to nursing telehealth, which we have not done before here in Dallas.
Is the Heroic Media name going to be changed to Her First, or will Heroic Media as a name still continue, Brett?
It's a discussion that we're having in our executive team with our board of directors, getting some advice from our donor base as well. But I think, Dave, we're just going to see how that happens organically. We're not going to try to force anything.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a guessing man, over time it probably would start to go that way.
Yeah.
Simply because even the people who are supporting our work would start to call it Her First. They start to maybe even see some ads that are Her First, so they'll start to identify it that way. And I think if that happens, or when that happens, it's just natural that we would move that direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice. What are y'all's needs? I actually have a bigger staff. I went to the website and see that you got, five or six people that are working for Heroic Media
right
now. And with all these changes, are there going to be additional staff members? Do you need volunteers? You got to get funding. You mentioned the donor base. Mm-hmm. How can people support what you're doing, Mike?
Well, we have staffed up the last few months to support this particular new strategy, this Her First branding and the nursing telehealth. So we're set up for it very, very well right now. Now, as we continue to go from market to market, we'll need to add people, but we already know what those positions will be. So we're at 7 full-time, couple contractors, will grow from there. What Brett said about scaling is you can almost just turn a spigot on in a new market, and now you have brand marketing in that market, because mm-hmm. we already have it. We're already running it, and we have a system that can push it into that market. So the process of beginning brand marketing in a new city, that's not the hard part. So brand marketing is more expensive than what we've always done, because we have to have it out in the market 24/7. So it has to be repetitive. It takes time to build a brand. So we do need more funding for that. And plus, nursing telehealth, we're paying those nurses and all the costs that go with that. So this is a more expensive form, but we feel like it can be so effective and has such a huge impact, it will attract people who really want to make a measurable difference. We know there's tons of great pro-life work. Some of it is measurable to an extent, but we think this really lends itself to a lot of metrics that demonstrate whether or not it's effective. And especially digital media advertising is very measurable. So we need kind of help all nonprofits need, but we're in the business of paying for advertising, right? So mm-hmm. it's really a business. It's an active business of paying for the advertising, paying for a product. So we obviously need funding. Dallas has always been very generous to us. So now when we talk to people about supporting us, we're talking about this new strategy of brand marketing and nursing telehealth.
Yeah. Well, that's very exciting. I'm really glad to get the chance to kind of break this news. At least for me, I was not aware of any of this. You know, we're running out of time. I'm talking to Brett Atterbury, the CEO, and Mike Murray, the president of Heroic Media, and we're talking about this big plans for the new year in 2025 with her first. And recently, Brett, I had Frank Gonzalez from CPLC and Jeff Scheffelbein, and they were talking about the changes within the CPLC. And I've had various conversations with people about how everybody in the Dallas Diocese and the pro-life work are kind of coming together. Does this fit into that? I know y'all, you know, what you and Mike have said, it's very broad, it's nationwide, but how does that affect the local pro-life groups in the effort? And like what was talking about with Scheffelbein?
Yeah, I think it does, because whether it's Dallas or you pick any other city, you name the city in the United States, this core issue of the women out there just are not aware that this kind of life-affirming help is available to them right in their own neighborhoods. This is a nationwide problem. So this is where we can step in with this idea under one brand name. Again, it's not operating a bunch of organizations under one brand name. It's connecting women to the resources that they actually need under one brand name. So this applies to Dallas as much as it does anywhere.
Very nice. All right. Well, we're down to about a minute and a half. And anything else that you would like, either of you would like to tell our listeners before we close out the interview? Father Cargo is warming up in the bullpen right now to talk about his Advent book. But Mike, anything else or that you'd like to share with our listeners before we close it out?
I would just say, first of all, I just want to give thanks to all of those in Dallas and really around the nation who have supported pro-life work. Many people have been doing it for decades. You know, thank you for your role in the overturn of Roe versus Wade and any other state laws here in Texas. But I would challenge you to think about the fact that going forward needs to be different to really move the needle. We learned that culture change initiatives, as valuable as they are, haven't really reduced abortions. We've learned that laws, as valuable as they are, haven't really reduced abortions. What we have in the end is a woman who's deeply fearful of what's happened to her, who's scared and needs help and support and resources. We have those things available on the ground. Now it's essential just to let her know, as Mike said earlier, before she ever faces the issue, that that help is available to her. So in my mind, in our mind at Heroic Media, that's the challenge going forward for the pro-life movement.
All right. Well, thank you both very much for taking time out to come over here. It's very exciting, you know, things going on with Heroic Media. And have y'all looked into herfirst.org yet? Or as a website, y'all have a website? Or that's probably down the road. But all right. Well, thanks so much for being here. It's good to get an update and appreciate y'all breaking some of this new exciting news from Heroic Media. In the meantime, if everybody wants to find out what's going on with Heroic Media right now, go to their website, heroicmedia.org, heroicmedia.org. My guests have been Brett Atterbury and Mike Murray, CEO and president, respectively, of Heroic Media. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. So we are in the midway point of the Good News Show. And as I mentioned, when we come back, talk to Father Jason Cargo, the pastor of St. Mark the Evangelist Parish in Plano, and along with his illustrator, Allison Sue. He has written a book about Advent. It's called Jesse Tree, A Catholic Journey for Advent, and excited to talk to him about it. And also, we have another set of tickets to the Fullness of Truth Conference in Allen. I mentioned this at the top of the show. Spiritual Warfare, The Rules of Engagement. Two exorcists are going to be there. Father Carlos Martins and Father Dan Rehill, along with Matthew Leonard, Adam Bly, Dave and Lauren Moore with music. Me as the MC. It's December 6th through 8th at the Marriott Dallas Allen Hotel and Convention Center in Allen. This is Fullness of Truth does a fabulous job with conferences. In fact, I think they're the best, because this is all they do. I mean, they do conferences. If you'd like to go to this, I can give you a couple of complimentary tickets to go to the Spiritual Warfare Rules of Engagement Conference, December 6th through 8th. Call and talk to Cecil right now. 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. We'll be back with the rest of the Good News Show right after this. A fierce war rages for your soul. And are you ready for the battle? Hi, this is Dave Palmer, and I am so excited to be the MC for the December 6th through 8th Fullness of Truth Conference in Allen. The theme is Spiritual Warfare, The Rules of Engagement, and speakers will include experts on exorcism, deliverance, and sacred relics, including exorcist priest Father Carlos Martins and Father Dan Rehill, demonologist Adam Bly, and Matthew Leonard. For more information and to get your tickets, visit fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org.
St. Joseph is the patron saint of home and family. At My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine, we support the Guadalupe Radio Network's mission of honoring and supporting home and family as longtime sponsors of KATH 910 AM. We're Bob and Norma Duane, owners of My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine. We'd be honored to speak with you about all your mortgage needs. We can be reached at 817-527-3166. That's 817-527-3166. We're an equal housing lender, NMLS 265303.
Hi, listeners. I'm Thompson Terry, Guadalupe Radio Network's new general manager for KCPP, 1140 AM in the Fort Worth, Cleburne listening areas. I'm very excited about this opportunity to grow awareness about our wonderful Catholic radio apostolate. Invite someone you know to tune in and be sure to contact me to promote your parish, parish organization, or various parish events. Send an email to tom@grnonline.com. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
The immigration attorneys with McGregor Noblad in Dallas, Texas are new sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network. They're redefining the way attorneys represent their clients. They invite you to call them to speak directly with an attorney about any immigration-related question you might have. To learn more about the immigration services offered by McGregor Noblad, you can visit them online at mcgregorfirm.com or by phone at 214-720-9555. That's 214-720-9555.
Every year, the St. Gabriel's Women's Club sponsors a holiday boutique. The 23rd annual holiday boutique will be Saturday, November 9th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the St. Gabriel the Archangel Kelly Center in McKinney. This will be an incredible shopping experience with over 80 artisans displaying and selling unique handcrafted items. Also available at the boutiques are vendor raffles, home-baked items at the bake sale booth, and a snack bar with many lunch items so you can shop until you drop all day. For more information on the holiday boutique, visit stgabriel.org.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company and want to explore options that align with your faith and values? There is an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful Catholics that never fund immoral medical services such as abortion and transgender surgeries. Prices start as low as $85 per month for a single and $512 for families. Call 844-719-2356 today or go to joinshs.com, a sponsor of the GRN.
We are back, and this is the Good News Show, live across Dallas and Fort Worth on all three of our stations, 910 AM, and also KCPP, named after Capuchin Padre Pio, and also that's 1140 AM, based in Cleburne, but covers much of the Fort Worth Diocese. And also 101.5 FM in Cleburne. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we've got Tom Centauri here. He's our new general manager for the Fort Worth region. And he's in his second week now, well, week of training and now a week of just trial by fire, I guess. Right, Tom?
Yeah. All of it. Love it. Loving it.
Thanks for sitting in. And as I mentioned, I have in studio with me Father Jason Cargo, and he is the pastor of St. Mark the Evangelist Parish in Plano, and they have a school that we recently did an interview on because they are that received the Blue Ribbon Award, and the principal came in, and Father was here as well. Now we're here for a different reason, because he has written, and how timely is this? He's written a book called Jesse Tree, A Catholic Journey for Advent, by Father Jason B. Cargo, and it's all about Advent. And he has also brought his illustrator in, Allison Sue, who is appropriately wearing a purple sweater to be liturgically correct with her colors. So welcome to both of you, and thanks for being here. Good to see you.
Oh, great to see you as well. You know, I just got back from Washington, D.C., receiving the Blue Ribbon
with my principal.
So was there with the Department of Education and 360 other schools and with great educators. So it was fantastic. We're still celebrating, for sure, at St. Mark Catholic School.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So tell us, I mean, I want to get to the book, but how was it there, and just how exciting was that for the school?
I tell you, we arrived Wednesday after the election, right? So talk about like
the day after.
Oh, so wow. I was like, what's going to happen? Actually, everything was very peaceful and it was great.
Wasn't everything like barricaded?
There was lots of barricades, yes.
But they didn't need it. There were no riots.
Not at all. So yeah, that was great. And then we were at the Omni Hotel and we gathered together and had some conferences and everything. And there's about 10% of the schools were private or parochial schools. And just to be able to connect with them and hear about all the great things that the schools are doing and to celebrate as our team you know, having won that blue ribbon. So but yeah, that's the last time we saw each other. It's great to be back.
Yeah, congratulations on that again. And, you know, Paula, my wife and I were sitting around last night, literally, and we were talking about what are we going to do for Advent? And, well, you know, what are we going to do? We've got an 11-year-old son, a 16-year-old daughter. And it's funny, I even in light of the fact that we were doing this interview, I didn't think about that. This morning, I emailed her and I said, we got to get this book by Father Cargo. This is what we're going to do this Advent. So tell us about the reason to write a book about this topic, Father. Why was this on your mind?
Oh, absolutely. So this is the thing, is that this actually originated from the pandemic, 2020. And so I was looking at a way to help our people at St. Joseph Catholic Church, a wonderful Catholic church in Richardson, Garland, was helping them, wanted a way to help them enter into the Advent season, and knowing that there was lots of restrictions and everything with that crazy pandemic. And so I knew about the Jesse tree. Someone had given me and gifted me some ornaments and kind of a basic guide. And so I thought, well, how about I create all these videos that would be able to help the people, adult people, enter into this beautiful devotion? And what I found was that as I began to look at this devotion, is that there was a lot of information out there from a Protestant perspective and for children, small children. But there wasn't anything for older families or adults and from a Catholic perspective. Mm. And so I thought this would be a great future book that I could present to the people of God. And so finally, this past year was after actually praying through my own writings for the last 2 years, the two Advents, I decided now is the time to go ahead and put it in a book form.
And it's called Jesse Tree, A Catholic Journey for Advent. And I want to talk about choosing an illustrator, because clearly this book required a lot of illustrations, especially the last third of it is pretty much all illustrations. But before we get into that, and before we bring Allison into the conversation, can you, for those listening, I don't want to assume everybody knows what the Jesse Tree is in the first place. What is the Jesse Tree, and how does that tie into the season of Advent?
Yes, Dave. So that's a wonderful question. So the Jesse tree basically is a historic way of illustrating the lineage between Jesse, the father of David, of the Old Testament, King David, and all the way to the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so his basic lineage, you'll see it all over different artistic portrayals. You'll see it in stained glass windows. You'll see it on facades of old churches. And, you know, the most famous of the medieval churches will have the Jesse tree woven into it. You'll see it in mosaics as well, all over the place. And, you know, one of the famous Advent readings is from Isaiah, where it says, a sprout shall shoot forth from the stump of Jesse, right? And we know that there was a moment that there was a crisis in the line of David, and the hope of the people of Israel, of the Jewish people, that there would be a Messiah that would come. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ came to save us all. So in the modern version, we use this idea of the Jesse tree as a number of traveling through Advent, looking at a number of different typologies. Typology is a way of saying scripture verses that point towards Jesus Christ. And we journey through these different historical stories each and every day. And every single day we put an ornament that reflects that particular story on a tree. At the end of the season, as we near the birth of Jesus on Christmas, then we would have actually a tree full of ornaments, each one representing a particular verse that points towards the coming of Jesus.
And, you know, I think that a lot of people in the culture just don't even know this season exists, especially in the secular culture. And it's all the more reason. And, you know, we've always taken Advent very seriously, thanks to my wife. My wife has always found something to do with the kids to make this a very special season. But would you agree that in the secular culture, and sometimes even in some parts of the Catholic world, Advent? What? I mean, they don't even know what Advent is.
Well, Dave, I was watching some football this weekend, and we are like in the middle of November, and there was already nothing but Christmas things out, right? Commercials and everything. It's like, yeah, there's not an understanding of the season of preparation and in our wider culture. And of course, as Catholics, we believe that Advent is a process, a preparation, a slowly getting ready for the celebration of Christ on Christmas. And then we have a full season of Christmas that we're supposed to be celebrating with great energy and excitement, you know, and especially the first 8 days, that 8 days that follow Christmas is meant to be one of extraordinary celebration. So this is meant to help people slowly and surely prepare themselves spiritually for the coming of Christ.
Father Jason Cargo is my guest, pastor of St. Mark the Evangelist Parish in Plano. His book is called Jesse Tree, A Catholic Journey for Advent. And I mentioned also in studio is his illustrator for the book, Allison Sue. How did you choose Allison? And then I want to ask Allison a few questions. But as you were sitting down, and like I said, illustration's a very, very important part of this book. How did you choose Allison?
Well, that's a great question. I knew Allison from St. Joseph, and I think what happened was I became aware of one of the books that she recently had done, and I looked at it, and I thought, I want that kind of illustration for this particular book. And it actually worked out very well. I've never chosen an illustrator before. This is my first time to have someone come in and help. And actually, she was a godsend to help me stay committed and persevere in creating this particular book. So the particular works that she did for this book, I wanted something very simple that wasn't too ornate or elaborate, but something that conveyed the particular themes and conveyed the particular Bible passages that we had. And I think her work does just that.
All right, Allison, thank you for being here. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I remember being over at Little Angels Catholic Store in Capel, and you were there, and I believe you were there as being an illustrator for a different book. So how long you been doing this? Can you tell us a little bit about your art and what got you into it in the first place?
Sure. Well, my origin story was also in 2020 during the pandemic. For those that don't know, I'm a pediatrician. Right now I'm non-clinical, but I got into art when I was a little kid and got into the Garland ISD schools through the Enriched Art Program. And so I just kind of sketched for fun all my life. And then in 2020, I had more time, so I started sketching things around me, my kids, and then my friend Sarah Beth Meyer, the author of The Gospels for Little Ones by Marian Press. She asked me if I wanted to do a children's book with her on the Bible or the Gospels. And so that's kind of how I got started doing illustrations.
I guess I didn't know you were a pediatrician, so I need to call you Dr. Allison Sue, right? You know, I mentioned there's a lot of art in this book. I mean, there's dozens and dozens. There's probably close to 100 pictures in here, maybe more. You probably know the number. How long did it take you to do these drawings?
Well, I want to estimate maybe 60 to 80 hours because we started in December of 2023 and we gave me a hard deadline for 2 weeks after Easter. So I made a spreadsheet for myself. I'm like, I have this many more days to do 52 pictures. So I just kind of steadily went along, spending an hour or two every day kind of doing one or two illustrations.
Yeah. And you got it done. And fathers, I'm flipping through this, you know, can you explain to our listeners how they use it?
Oh, absolutely.
I see like the first, there's November 29th. It says Jesse Tree. And then there's an explanation of the Jesse Tree. And then it goes November 30th, making the tree. So is this the dating, is this specifically for this year, or can it be used year after year, or do they have to buy another one, or how does that work?
It can be used year after year, yeah. So really, this particular version starts on December 1st. We have a couple days prior, depending on the season of Advent. You know, season of Advent might begin over a period of about a week, right? Mm-hmm. And so I added a couple extra dates just in case the season started earlier. And there needs to be a period of time of preparation before the actual December 1st. But so each and every day, someone would gather with their family or in their own personal devotion and pray that particular day's worth of readings, reflections, looking at the wonderful illustrations that Allison created, Dr. Allison created, and And then there's some wonder questions helping people to think about what does this mean, this concept, this idea that's been brought forth from that particular reading. And then some action items. And the action items are meant to concretize that particular theme or idea into people's life, have something that they do in the day that makes them think, okay, this is what I, this is how I'm trying to prepare myself for for Christ. And the very last thing, it has a reading. The reading is the longer version of the reading that's, you know, I didn't put down the whole reading that was in there. I made excerpts, and this is the longer version of the reading that can then be read through the night before. A holy item to do every night is to read scripture right before you go to bed. So have a Bible on your bookstand, and then so you can have this as, oh, I'm going to read this reading. So as I go to bed, I'm going to be starting to think about this particular passage. So as I go into the next day, I can enter more fully into the devotion.
I love, first of all, it looks like an easy read. You know, the letters are big enough, and it also looks like something you could probably do in, you know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Because I know sometimes, you know, late in the, you know, at night, you know, we pray the rosary or we do something. You don't have a lot of time. But
exactly.
This sounds like something that could be done pretty quickly each evening. I don't mean to be presumptuous, but you brought a few copies here with us. May I give a couple of them away?
Absolutely.
On the air? Is that all right? Okay.
Sure.
Because I know there's people listening right now that are thinking, boy, I'd like to get my hands on this. But the book is called Jesse Tree, A Catholic Journey for Advent by Father Jason Cargo. Dr. Allison Sue is the illustrator. And if you would like to get a copy of this, I'll actually mail it to you unless you want to come by the studio. Sissel will answer the phone, 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424 is the phone number. First two people to call will get a copy of Jesse Tree, A Catholic Journey for Advent. How are you promoting it other than doing radio interviews? Or how? Yeah, that's one of the big challenges, because I wrote a book one time. You're like, how do I get the word out, you know, about it? Or what are you doing?
You know, so basically, I've kind of tagged along with Allison at a couple of gatherings. So I was at St. Jude, I think, a couple of weeks ago, as we were at a book fair, and we kind of talked about it and promoted a little bit. But at my parish, you know, I'm promoting it there for sure. And I'm actually going to give away a bunch of books at my parish in the next couple of weeks. So that was always the intent on my part, is this is meant to give away. I just want to produce as many copies and give them to people so that they can encounter Jesus and prepare themselves. So that's my desire. Now, it can be found on Amazon, and you know, you can just Amazon my name and Jesse Tree or something and you'll find it. But my whole goal here is just to get as many people to have this book so they can have a good quality preparation for Christmas.
And Allison, I'm sure you've obviously had a chance to read through it, because you did all the illustrations. And so what was your impression, or what, you know, advice might you give to people who are considering picking up a copy of it? Or what did you like about it, other than the illustrations, of course, the actual content? What did you think?
I think it's a fantastic way to do Advent with a small group or with a family. I'm selecting this book to do it with my family this Advent. Typically, we do a scripture devotional for the daily Mass readings, but we'll be doing this one this year just to kind of change it up a bit. Mm-hmm. I love that it's dated, so it keeps us on track every day until Christmas.
Now, Father, did you say at the beginning of the interview that there were some videos, or did you say something? Is there a video accompaniment, or is there anything on social media that, or any other, what else have you done to complement the book?
No, there's no videos accompanying the particular book.
Okay.
There's, so that was something that I created for St. Joseph, particularly during the 2020 Advent season, during that pandemic year. Maybe in the future I'll do some videos. I don't know. But yeah, Right now there's no videos.
All right. And any other books in your mind? Or if you were to write another book, what would be the topic?
Absolutely. I have a couple books that's in my mind. One is how to successfully move from one parish to another. That's going to be
really?
A book in
Seriously,
my mind.
A book
you
about
know,
that.
Tons
yeah.
of people are going to want to buy that book, right? But no, I have
it's a very niche audience.
Very niche. But I think it might be very helpful for my brother priests. But the other book I think will be really fun. I have a half-written book about my adventures as a cowboy when I was 21 years old, and I ended up becoming Jumping Juniper Jason for a summer in the mountains of Colorado. And so,
Triple J, Allison knows that story.
and so, I think that would be probably my next book that I would undertake. And I'm excited. You know what I found? I self-published this book, so this is not through any kind of publishing agency, through Amazon. But one of the things that I found was that it's not really difficult. A lot of people can make this leap and publish. And our hope is actually to present this to one of the main publishing agents and see what will come about. But yeah, I think that's it's awakened a dream of mine that I've always had, a bucket list, if you will, to be a writer. That was something that I have been. I do all the time for my ministry, and so to actually have something tangible that can be promoted, it's great.
But we got responses really quickly for the books.
Oh, Sissel fantastic.
Already got her two winners, and thank you for doing this, and Allison, thank you for illustrating. We just are down to our last few minutes. Again, the book is called Jesse Tree: A Catholic Journey for Advent. Will there be any like book signings over at Little Angels or any of the Catholic bookstores or anything like that? Anything planned between now and Advent?
Well, we are supplying some books to Little Angels, so they will have them as long as the supply lasts, and so they will have those. I haven't had any other book signings of yet. I am open to that, however.
You know, as you go into the season of Advent and then Christmas as a priest, that's a busy time, isn't it? It's almost like going into Holy Week. So what is a priest's mindset as you go into this holy season? Obviously, it's very exciting, but there's a lot going to be going on in your life in the next couple of months.
Especially this year with the Dallas Synod, too.
Oh, yeah. So how is that going to, like, what is the Synod going to have to do with the local parishes?
Well, at the very beginning of Advent, basically, after the first Sunday of Advent, all the priests of the Diocese of Dallas are primarily Synod delegates. And so we're going to join a number of lay people from December 1st to December 4th to be part of this Dallas Synod. And so the very first week of Advent, we're actually going to be away. Now, there are some retired priests as well as some religious priests who are not Synod delegates. And so they're actually going to be manning the particular parishes. And so our hope is to have maybe a slightly reduced sacramental schedule, but all the sacraments will still be there for those several days. But what we will find, what I find is, especially with Advent, we have all the preparation, all the confessions, and all the spiritual guidance. And then if you're in a Spanish-speaking parish, you have all the things around the novena of Our Lady Guadalupe and all this energy and excitement, and then the preparation for Christmas. So it's oftentimes compacted in 3.5 weeks. And especially this year with the Synod, it's going to be compacted time frame. And so it's very energizing, but exhausting, honestly.
You mentioned Spanish. Any plans to translate this into Spanish? Have you been asked about that yet?
I have been asked about it. I will be looking at doing that for next year. Yes.
All right. Because we have somebody that works in the office that's like a really good translator, in case you're interested. But I know there probably would be a lot of interest in the Spanish-speaking community as well. Father Cargill, thank you very much. In just a moment, I'm going to ask if you could provide a blessing over
absolutely.
The radio. But I want to bring Allison Sue in one more time. Allison, are there any other projects that you're working on from as an illustrator that you want to highlight?
Sure. The Gospel of Luke for Little Ones just came out from Merriam Press. Last week, I believe.
Okay.
We're looking at Gospel of John coming out next year, and then Sarah and I have been working on a book on the Eucharist and the Stations of the Cross as well.
And is there a website for where people can find out about that, or if people are interested in finding that, or just do a search for it, or what?
They can look up www.sarahbethmeyer.com/little ones.
All right, there you go. And of course, Jesse Tree, A Catholic Journey for Advent. Hopefully you'll be in some of the Catholic bookstores. Maybe Little Angels will have it. Otherwise, good old Amazon,
yeah,
right?
Good old Amazon.
You can find it there. Father Cargo, thank you very much. Allison, thank you for coming in. And would you provide us with a blessing
absolutely.
Before we let you go?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ, we praise you and love you. We adore you. And we thank you for being the Word made flesh. And we thank you for this medium in which your Word can come and penetrate our hearts and our minds. We ask that anyone who's listening and any of their loved ones may experience your grace this afternoon. And I pray God's blessing to be upon each of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. Father Cargo, thank you. Dr. Sue, thank you very much. Sounds like Dr. Seuss. Dr. Sue.
I've got that before.
You've got that. Dr. Sue, thank you very much. Cecil Anderson, thanks. Tom, great to have you in the studio with me. And also thanks to Brett Atterbury and Mike Murray, the first guest from Heroic Media. You can go to heroicmedia.org to find out. Do we still have any tickets to Fullness of Truth? Okay, one set of tickets, Fullness of Truth, December 6th through 8th. Call right now, 877-757-9424. If you'd like to go, God bless. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show. KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.